welcome to another edition of Visions. And today, we're going to take a look at hurricane preparedness, disaster preparedness for people with disabilities and those families who have members with disabilities. The information is relevant to everyone that hears this program, but I'm paying particular attention to how persons with disabilities who live alone or who live with family can help prepare for the hurricane season which we are currently in. The hurricane season starts for us in the Caribbean from June 1st and officially ends November 30th. During this period, we will experience many challenges when it comes to heavy rains, high gust winds, and of course, some humidity and heat. But let us start by hearing what our Prime Minister, the Honorable Mia Amor Motley, addressed us last year by sharing a personal experience and some of what we need to do in preparing for hurricanes or other disasters. So I'll start with her.
Anybody who's lived through a hurricane would know that you don't play with the preparedness aspect of it. A hurricane is literally one of the most destabilizing experiences any human being can have, because everything that you have today, you can literally lose tomorrow. And your first responsibility is to save your life, then to save those around you who, for whom you have responsibility, save your property as far as possible, and then to be able to survive the aftermath of a hurricane, which can be as grueling as the event itself. I learned this at a very early age. I was in Jamaica, ironically, for Hurricane Gilbert. And in those days, many of the Jamaicans did not believe that a hurricane was coming, because one had not hit Jamaica since the 1960s, more than 20 years before. And the persons that I was staying, ironically, it was my first trip to that country, and nobody prepared for it. The trouble came the day after, when literally there was no water. There was little food left in people's houses because people had not bought. It was the end of a weekend. And I remember standing up on Hope Road for 3-4 hours, literally in a long, long line, because each one of us had literally to benefit from the quota of goods that they were selling. And all they would give us was some batteries, some candles, and some sweet biscuits. We then had to move to some other friends who we knew that they had left the country. The roof had blown off. We went into the house. We had to take the tin goods to get food for the rest of the week. Eventually, the day that I left Jamaica, 4 or 5 days later, was the first day that we were able to get gasoline and diesel, literally. And you had to wait for 2.5 hours that morning in a long queue to be able to get it.
Okay, so we heard our Prime Minister addressing us and reminding us of the importance of preparing and what that experience could be like for some of us. What I will do now is take a clip from the Science Show for Kids, a television program, as they explain what is a hurricane.
It's summertime where Squeaks and I live, which means we've had a lot of thunderstorms lately. Summer thunderstorms usually have rain, thunder, and lightning, and sometimes strong, gusty winds. Sometimes the power even goes out. Good thing Squeaks and I have a flashlight just in case. But some areas of the world experience a really extreme kind of storm. A hurricane. Hurricanes are big, powerful storms that have strong winds. And I mean strong. In order to be considered a hurricane, a storm's winds have to be blowing faster than 119 kilometers an hour. That's faster than a car zooming down the highway. Sometimes you'll also hear this kind of storm called a cyclone or a typhoon, but they're all just different names for the same thing. From space, many hurricanes look like this. Big, swirling storms that have a really cool shape. That's right, Squeaks. This hurricane looks a little bit like a circle. The clouds wind around a space in the center of the hurricane, called the eye. It even sort of looks like an eyeball. Now, a hurricane shape is pretty cool, but it's not the only thing that's special about this kind of storm. Everything has to be just right for a hurricane to form. It's kind of like a puzzle. The first piece of the hurricane puzzle is warm ocean water. the water has to be at least 27 degrees Celsius, or about as warm as a swimming pool, for a hurricane to form. The warm water causes the air above it to warm up and rise high into the sky. The warm air is very humid, which means that there's a lot of water in it. As the air rises into the sky, other air rushes in to take its place. The air that rushes in gets warm and humid too, and then it rises high into the sky as well. As the air rises, it cools, and clouds start to form. Lots of them. High in the sky is also where we find the second thing that's important for making a hurricane. Wind. And not just any wind. The wind that helps make a hurricane has to be calm and steady. It can't be the kind of wind that blows really hard for a moment or two and then calms down again. If there are sudden gusts like that, the storm can get blown apart, kind of like how a candle gets blown out. But if there's warm, damp air along with those steady winds, and it stays like that for a few days, the rest of the pieces that make up a hurricane fall into place. The steady winds push the growing storm over the ocean, and the warm water gives the storm energy. It causes more air to rise, more clouds to form, and the winds inside the hurricane become stronger. In fact, the only place that it's not very windy is in the hurricane's eye. It's actually very calm in the eye, even though it's right in the middle of the storm. As it grows, the hurricane also starts to turn. It spins around with the eye in the center, kind of like a top. As long as hurricanes have that warm air for fuel, they can keep going and keep growing. But when they reach land or pass over cooler water, they lose their warm air, so they start to fall apart. Hurricanes usually leave behind a lot of rain, though. Sometimes the rain can last for days. They also can push a lot of ocean water onto the shore, which can cause a lot of floods. But people can prepare for hurricanes, especially if they know when they're going to happen. For example, most hurricanes near North America happen between May and November every year, because that's when the different pieces that make a hurricane fit together the best. And scientists have lots of tools to try and track hurricanes. They use what they know about science to make really good guesses about where they'll pop up, where they'll go, how big they'll be, and how long they'll last. And if you live or go on vacation in a place where hurricanes might happen, you can be prepared too. You can talk with grown-ups about what you can do if a hurricane happens. That might mean bringing in things from outside to protect them from strong winds, or it might mean helping to prepare a kit with food, water, flashlights, and a radio.
Again, this program, Visions, is about helping all of us to understand what's happening within our communities, within our country, within our region, and of course, at the micro level, within our families. And today we're talking about how to prepare for disaster, especially hurricanes, which is pretty prevalent within the Caribbean region. So we heard what a hurricane is, and we do get warnings from our meteorology office. They will tell us when we have a storm warning, when we have a storm watch, and when it has upgraded and can be a threat to our island. Now, for families who have members with disabilities, it's really critical that all know we start with the preparation process. Let's look at having an emergency kit and some of the additional things we can add to that emergency kit. For example, do you have family members, friends, relatives that should anything happen to you, you would want them to be contacted? So we can start by writing a list of contacts, whether it's our mother, our sister, brother, uncle, aunt, a good friend from church, a distant relative that you're close to. Write their names, their relationship to you, and a telephone number and street address where they live. Because in the light of the hurricane doing severe damage to our island, we may lose power. We may lose communication via telephone. So that information is still very useful, the address. So you can write that information, your list of contacts, and place it in a waterproof bag or some device that will shield it from water. Another step that can be taken and should be taken is to have a good knowledge of who you consider to be your support network. Again, family members, friends, people from your church or youth group, disability group, Kiwanis, one of the service clubs. Again, make sure that they are aware of where you are, whether you're at home or if you're leaving to go to a hurricane shelter. And again, which hurricane shelter is the one you are to go to? The one closest to you, whichever it is. Again, you communicate this information because it is essential that your support group, your support team, your support network know where you are and what your plans are. If you intend to leave home at 5 in the afternoon and go to the hurricane shelter, all that information you really share with your support network so that they can keep abreast of you and what's happening with you. Another step that you should take, again, is if you or your family member uses a wheelchair or crutches or some other mobility device, you may not be able to wheel or walk to the hurricane shelter or to a family member or a close friend that you may decide to ride out the storm or hurricane at. Therefore, make plans to be transported to your relative, friend, or the hurricane shelter beforehand. So you either make contact with one of the organizations like the Barbados Council for the Disabled, which has a wheelchair accessible bus, and make those plans to be transported to your venue, right? This is essential because you're thinking ahead, you're planning ahead of how you will ride out the storm or the hurricane. So those are some of the steps that you can take in terms of keeping people informed as to what is happening with you and your family. Let's now look at what you can prepare and place in your bag, your emergency bag, if you want to call it that. So obviously, as we hear year after year, all the various notices, let's pack some food stuff. These are non-perishable items that will last for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Items such as tuna in a can, corned beef, luncheon meat, tin corn, items that are usually in tins or very strong plastic that will, or heavy bottles that can rally out with you and not be broken or burst to spill within your bag. Think about items that are very low in sodium because once you use lots of sodium salt, it means you must drink as well. So you have your tin food stuff that can, again, be used without having to cook them, some biscuits, and items such as those that you carry with you. Some things, some sweet items as well. Again, for those who are diabetic, that may need a little sweet should your blood sugar drop. Your medical devices, such as a high blood pressure monitor, your diabetes devices that you will be able to test your sugar level, and of course, your medication. Usually, during this period as well, you can ask your pharmacist or doctor to provide you with a 2 to 3 month supply of medication. And if some of the medication must be stored on ice in the refrigerator, again, prepare. You may not have all of the money at one time to purchase a cooler, a small cooler where you can store your medication on ice. But you can save towards purchasing one of these small coolers where you're able to place your medicines on ice that can be kept for a little while. So you do all these things in helping to prepare yourself should a storm descend upon Barbados. So you also need to look at having a small battery-operated radio and a battery-operated torchlight, searchlight, spotlight, whatever you call it. So that, again, should the electricity be disrupted, that you have a radio that you're able to hear news and information about what's happening on the island, as well as a searchlight that you're able to look around you, particularly at night when there is no electricity. So these are some of the devices and food items that we need to have, our medication. Be very conscious of what your medication is. And again, what you can do is write out or get your doctor or pharmacist write out the name of your medication and have it again with your contact list. You can put both of them in the same plastic bag or wallet, that waterproof device, so that anyone finding you, should you go into a diabetic coma or anything, understand that you are diabetic, you use this particular type of medication, and so on. All these pieces of information may seem like, well, I know, my family know, but we don't know what will happen within a hurricane, a storm. Therefore, it's essential that you have that information written that someone else can read it, understand it, and know how to treat you. So, let's prepare. I'm going to have the next part of the address by our Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Mia Amor Motley. So take a listen.
So if you understand what a hurricane brings, you don't play with a hurricane. And you make sure that however much you have to prepare for it, however much you didn't feel that you wanted to do it, you do it. And the corned beef and the tuna and all of the packed goods, they don't spoil. The water, they don't spoil. You use them at the end of the hurricane season, so your money has not been wasted. Similarly, your medication, particularly if you are an older person or if you're suffering from chronic diseases, make sure that you have enough medication in your possession, in the household. Because if the hurricane does hit, believe you me, your access to food, medication, and all of the other critical things that you need will not be there. The other problem immediately after a hurricane is connectivity and transport. There's no guarantee that if you are living in the country or even parts of town with all the trees that we have across Bridgetown, that you'll be able to easily move to where you need to move. And equally, remember that because national security is an imperative, there is no guarantee that you'll be able to do so without curfews being in place. So these are all of the things that require you to plan. Plan and plan. There was the Mbili used to tell us all the time, as young people in public life, have plan A, plan B, and plan C. Well, I tell you, have plan A, B, C, D, and E. And we need to know who are the people in the communities that we are going for, because their houses cannot withstand a hurricane, where we are carrying them, whether we're carrying them in by us or if we're carrying them to a shelter. Make sure that when they go, they have the identity documents, make sure that they have their prescriptions, make sure that you have enough food to carry you and cover them for a few days. And then we also need to know that for those whose houses may be strong enough to withstand a hurricane, that we go and check on them immediately after the all clear is given, so as to make sure that they have survived and that they are not in need of anything that they can't for themselves do. We are truly grateful for those Barbadians who want to agree to help us man the country once a hurricane is coming. Somebody has to do it. And we accept that as you do it, that you are leaving behind your family and your friends and your home. And we are eternally grateful for that sacrifice that you are making. Make sure that before you leave your home, that you've left them in good position and that they themselves are capable of being taken care of. because the last thing that we need is for you to be worried about your own family and your own circumstances as you go to help others. Secondly, make sure that you yourself are adequately equipped with your soda Bix and your medication and all of the things that you need to survive at a personal level. As they tell you on a plane, if you don't take care and ensure your own individual survival, you can't help the other people that you're supposed to help. And finally, make sure that you do it with a cheerful spirit. A lot of people on that day will be anxious. A lot of people may even be very, very upset because of what they've lost. And more than anything else, people need a smile and a shoulder to hold on to as they meander and navigate through what is potentially the most disruptive incident in their lives. But I know we can do it together. So let's do it.
So, again, we're looking at how we as individuals with disabilities, how our family members can help us prepare to weather the storms, the hurricanes that could possibly affect our island. Now, let's talk about those individuals who have communication challenges, people who may be deaf or have other communication issues like stammering and so on. And sometimes we know when we are experiencing traumatic situations, we may freeze and not be able to get our words out or to really think coherently in that split moment. So for individuals who have communication challenges, again, you need to think ahead, plan ahead. How will you best communicate with another individual within a hurricane shelter or with your own family and friends? So we may rely on the cell phones because we're able to message and WhatsApp and text. However, should the electricity be out, should power outages last for a long period and you're unable to recharge your mobile phone, how then will you communicate? And then here, I would also appeal to those individuals who work in disaster management to think of how you will communicate with individuals who are deaf, who have communication challenges. It's all necessary in preparing to help each other, because many of us, while we're able to communicate in English or Bajan dialect, we still must be mindful of those individuals verbally communicate with us. So for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing, remember, there are some weather radios where it might have a text display. Not it might, it will have a text display. That again, this will allow you to have information ready to hand and always have an extra supply of batteries. So this is a radio that you can source that will keep you alerted to what is happening within your communicating. Also, you can make sure you have extra batteries for your hearing aids. And of course, you can download, all of us can download the CAP app from the Disaster Emergency Management website so that you're keeping yourself in the know of what's happening moment by moment within our country. For those individuals who have kidney dialysis, who require dialysis, again, speak to your medical personnel so that you can be guided what to do. Should you come to the hospital? Should you have a unit home? What should you do? So these are areas that you need to think about and plan for. Now, again, we spoke about persons with disabilities having devices that will assist them to walk and so on. Well, not only walk, but how to move around, because we have individuals using wheelchairs as well. So how do you prepare should those devices be damaged during a storm, a hurricane? These are thoughts that you need to concentrate on and see how best will you be able to either store your devices or prepare should they be damaged, how you will be able to access another piece of equipment, that device that helps you in being mobile without any major costs, because we know that these pieces of equipment are highly expensive, and sometimes we do not have the financial means to purchase them on a regular or as a needed basis. Now, we individuals who are blind and visually impaired can again label their stuff with Braille or large print, so they can do large print as well. And for all of us, we can place all of our information on a drive, a flash drive, an external hard drive, so that again, those individuals, those medical or emergency personnel who may have access to the computer and so on, can also access our information should we not write it out. So we have quite a lot of information here that we need to consider as we think about hurricane preparedness, and therefore I want to urge you to really do these steps and some others that you may think of so that you can safeguard yourself, your family members, and your friends in the community. Those individuals who may have the motorized or power wheelchairs, again, it would be advisable to also have a manual wheelchair. And show your family, friends, how to operate both your power wheelchair, your motorized wheelchair, as well as your manual wheelchair. Well, it has been a pleasure sharing this information with you. Make sure you take guidance and prepare. It's never too late to prepare, so all now, as you sit at your table in the kitchen, in the dining room, the bedroom, wherever you are, make some notes. Start putting that contact list together, speaking to your support network, and of course, working with your district emergency organization so that they are aware of who you are, where you live, and the type of disability that you are living with. These bits and pieces of information you need to take into consideration and work upon. So, until next week, when we have another edition of Visions, talk to a representative from your district emergency organization, disaster emergency management organization, your local organization like the Red Cross, the St. John Ambulance. Make these people aware of you as individuals with disabilities and the districts, the communities you're living in. And of course, you can also ask for guidance in what you need to put in your emergency kit, what are the standard items you should have in an emergency kit. And of course, your medication, you don't leave home without it if you're going to a hurricane shelter. And you find out the hurricane shelters that are currently available to access during the hurricane season, the one closest to you. All this information you share with your family and your network team that will be looking out for you as you look out for them and yourself as well. You have been listening to Visions. Remember, you can contact me, Eulalie Wickham Ashby, at 1-246-269-9660. WhatsApp me on that number as well. Or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300. Via email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. VisionsBarbados. @gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast link, click on that, scroll down until you see Visions, and of course, you can listen back. Remember, tell a friend to join you as you listen next week, same time, same station. Until then, be safe. And do take care.